But the ones who know us best heard it first. Amen? So, I don't know, you husbands, can you tell when your wife is looking at you when you don't even see it? It's like this weight.
That's how she's speaking.
Right? Amen.
My wife says the same thing. She said, she was talking to JJ the other day at the dinner table, and she said, Grandpa can hear everything anytime except for my voice. You know?
She knows that.
She knows, yeah, amen. I can hear, and this may sound crazy, I'll hear a mouse peeing on cotton 50 yards away. Right? But when my wife says something, it's like, huh? Huh? Were you talking to me? You couldn't have been talking to me. Amen. Unfortunately. What's that, huh?
I said that part was recorded.
Yeah, that part was recorded. And she knows, we talk about it. She likes to, she's not picking at me, she just points out the facts. You know? And so, anyhow, by the grace of God, we're talking about this building. That Jesus promised that the gates of hell shall not prevail against his building, the church. I find great hope in that. But in that building, there's a structure that we've got to understand. And this is what we've been talking about for ever since March 17th when we started it. Christ, the cornerstone. Everything is built off of the perfect example to mankind. Jesus, God manifested in the flesh. He was the perfect cornerstone. All things are shot off of him. All things are compared to him for reconciliation, for reproof, he is the word, and for instructions into righteousness. Amen? That's what he is. That's what he's for. And God said he's dropped a plumb line in Amos chapter 7. He said, I put a plumb line. I'm not going to move to the right and left side of it. You know why? Because a plumb line is always, what did you call it the other day?
Points to the center of the earth.
Points to the center of the earth. No matter where you're at, it goes right to the bottom, right? And Jesus always gets to the bottom of things. I like it. Jesus ain't one to beat around the bush. He'll tell you right straight up. This is grace and truth. You can accept it. You can reject it. That's up to you. But if you want to be a part of this building called the church, the temple of the living God, you need to know how to build that. Where does it start? Well, it starts with the King James Bible. It starts with the very Word of God. It brings you back to this thing that the Pentateuch, which are the five books of the law. There's 17 books of the prophets. There's the historical books. There's the poetic books. Praise God for the four Gospels. Amen. I love the Gospels of Jesus Christ. Even as much, well, I love them all, but as much as that, I like the epistles. The epistles really tell me what I need to do, how I need to live, where can I find the plumb line of God, where I can find what is exactly what God wants out of me, in me, and then the epistles tell me how to adjust my life to that plumb line. Amen? Which points to the center of my, the center of my life. And he tells me how to die to it, how to sacrifice my flesh to his glory, that I might be a part of this temple of God, this very building of God. Tells us through the Word of God that the Holy Spirit is the one who calls you. The Father moves over you, and he calls you by name. Right, Bonnie? There is a time you're sitting there and in your own self, right? And God said, hey, Bonnie, guess what, baby? I love you. Right? And Bonnie says, who, me? And he says, yeah, you, just the way you are. I love you, and I want you to be a part of this building. And what did you do? You said, yes, God. Amen. Same thing happened to you, Kevin, you, Tom, you, Nancy over there. Anybody who is born of God, that is what happened. It may have happened in different circumstances in your life, but the base is that God called you while you were yet sinners. You didn't have to get gooder to get God. You had to get God before you could get gooder. That's American talk. Now, when Wendy goes down south, you'll hear a lot of that. And so, anyhow, that's the way that it works. And in this building, this temple of God, that God will not allow the gates of hell to win against it. There's no weapon in all of hell. There's no devil. There's no man that's going to stop the work of God inside of the individual except for the individual and his obedience to the Word of God. The only thing that stops God from working is you. You know that? your own self will. Well, God will say, this far, here's the plumb line. You do what I say. You live the way I want you to, and I will promise you life and that eternal. Amen? I will welcome you in to life, and I will make you a pillar. There's two things that we've talked about briefly here this morning. One is how to be made part of the building. That's through Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. You must believe that God is. Amen? And that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. That means dig into it. Amen? You got to dig in. You got to get a little bit deeper. You really want to know who God is, you got to get a little bit of your own, less of your own thought and more of His Word. Because the thing that I love about the Bible, I don't have to agree with it. It doesn't change. God's Word's not going to go to my will. He's saying, Curtis, if you love me, let me take your will and convert it into my will that you might be conformed, changed, transformed into the image of Christ. Who here wants some of that? I do. I do. I want it so bad that I'm willing to die to it. I want to live and love so much that I'm willing to get rid of who Curtis is, the sinner, the nastiness that's in me. I want to have a right relationship with God, that I'm going to believe God's Word over all of my feelings, over everything that I think is real. If God's Word says it's different, God's Word's right. If my mind says it's this way and God's Word says it's that way, it's God's Word. And I'm going to lean in by faith into the building of Jesus Christ. He tells us that we need to be overcomers. To be this pillar of salvation, this first pillar is called salvation. First, you must know that God is and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And in that seeking Him, the way that I seek Him is through His Word, through the righteousness of God, and desiring to be an overcomer. Amen? There's one, I'm going to go through several scriptures in the Revelation. But the one that I'm going to focus on is actually next to the last one. This is to the Church of Philadelphia, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12. To him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of the heaven from my Father, from my God. And I will write upon him a new name, my new name. All right. I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Amen. This is what we're going to start talking about over the next several weeks. These pillars are going to change names because there's a lot of them in your personal life. There's things that I need to have as a pillar. Jesus says, if you want to be a pillar in the house of God, who here wants to be one? What does he say you need to become? Overcomer. Amen. Overcoming what? Sin. The lust of the eye. Pride of life. And the lust of the flesh. The three temptations that the tempter, the three temptations, that's like a group from the 60s, right? So, anyhow, but the temptations of this life, I need to die to that I might be an overcomer. How do I learn to die to the temptations of this earth, this world, the things that are within me, the sin that lives within me? Anybody know? I'll give you a clue. It's down here, multicolors. All right? There are these books in the Word of God that tells me what He expects. How do I overcome sin in my life? By obeying the law of God. How do I overcome the fear in my life? Through the historical books of God. The reason I say the historical books, all of the books that said that God was going to do something on such and such date at such and such time, hundreds of years before it happened, and then it happened, that's historical books. He was telling me history before history was ever written. Amen? Before that thing ever came to pass, he said, it's going to come to pass. Wait for it. Oh, praise God. I love the historical books of the Word of God because it tells me about the faithfulness of God. He does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I can put my life in line with that plumb line that is run off of the cornerstone, which is Christ Jesus. And in that, I will never fail. Amen? Who here wants some of that never fail stuff? I tell you what, dude, wow, man, I want to scream. I tell you this, if you will trust Jesus Christ, I mean really lean into His Word with all of who you are, you will never fail. Will there be trials and temptations? Amen. Any time that you say that you are a born-again believer of Jesus Christ, the enemy rushes in like a flood trying to knock you over. Amen? You say, oh, Lord, I trust you, I love you. And the Lucifer comes up and he says, oh, yeah, you do? Let me hit you at the ankles. Let me hit you in the knees. Let me hit you in the waist. Let me hit you in the head and see if I can knock you down. But you know what God says? He says, wade into the water. Amen? He tells you that in Ezekiel. Wade into the water, get in ankle deep. You think the water's fine. Come on in, baby. You ain't even felt good yet. There's a time that you'll get knee-deep. Amen? Knee-deep in the water, that's a fun time. Anybody remember when you were a child and you were playing in the kiddie pool? About knee-deep? You know, that's as deep as frog goes. Knee-deep. Knee-deep. So, I'm sorry about that. knee-deep. And he says, go in a little bit deeper. All right, I found out the water's good, it's wet, it's refreshing, it helps me to grow, it makes me feel comfortable from the ankles to the knees, and he says, get up to your waist. Oh, I think a lot of Christians today are only waist-deep. All right? You're only waist-deep. But I'm going to say push out a little bit further. Push out a little bit. Really become an overcomer in Jesus Christ, that you might be a pillar in the church of Jesus Christ in that time. So over and over again here in the Revelation, we're just going to run through these because to each church, each spiritual standing of every individual that is part of the body of Christ, He tells us to be an overcomer. These are not church ages. This is the church. In fact, all of these different characteristics you find in the seven churches written in the Revelation, you have that problem, I will guarantee you. It may not be the main problem of your life, but you're part of it. Amen. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None is righteous. Not one. Not one. Amen. Not one. Steve, you're not righteous. There ain't nothing good about you except for Christ Jesus. Amen. There is none righteous. Not one. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we also have the power through the Holy Ghost, when we will hear what the Spirit has to say to the church, to become overcomers. Amen? So, in Revelation chapter 2, he that hath an ear, verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Amen? I want some of that fruit. I want some of that. I gotta be an overcomer. That's 2 verse 7. And he tells me, he who hath an ear, you need to hear what the Spirit of God says. When you hear what the Spirit of God says, then you make adjustments in your life to that. How do I know when the Spirit of God is talking to me? It lines up with the Word of God. The Spirit of God will never direct you outside of what the written Word of God has to say. You will not get any extra biblical information out of the Spirit of God. Amen? So if you got somebody teaching you or showing you, well, I have this extra word from God. Well, test that Spirit. See if it's really what the Spirit of God says. He says that when you're an overcomer, when you're trusting the Spirit, He's going to give you the right, the ability to eat of the tree of life. I have life eternal through my faith in Jesus Christ. I tell you, I'm eating of that spiritual fruit right now today. Right now today. Why? Because I'm not leaning in my will, I'm leaning into His will. I am overcoming, not by my strength, but through His strength. Amen? Again, to the church of Smyrna. Alright, he who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Verse 11. He that overcometh shall not be hurt in the second death. If you are truly born again, regenerated in Christ Jesus, when the second death comes, all right, who knows, all of you are going to die. All of us are going to die. But then there's a second death. There's a spiritual death where you're cast out from the presence of God. You can find that later in the Revelation 21, where the books are open and another book is open, which is the book of life. And God judges those people that are written with the things that are written in that book. And anybody not found in the book of life is cast out for the second death. So make sure you're in the first book. That's what makes you an overcomer. Not by doing things right, but doing things through Christ Jesus. How do I know that I'm an overcomer in the church of Jesus Christ? Is because my faith is completely and totally in Him. It's not in anything of this world. This world holds nothing for me. Amen? And if you are truly being converted, and thank you, Lord, for this. That didn't happen to me in 1 minute, in 1 day. Spiritually, it did. But in my life, I had things I had to get over, right? I had hurts from my youth, right? I had things, I had addictions I had to deal with. Folks, I'm still dealing with addiction. Amen? I have not made it. But one thing that I do, like Paul says, I forget those things which are past, and I press forward. Amen? I'm an overcomer and pressing forward to the high call of God, high call of Christ. I'm looking for the end result, not the present reality. I'm overcoming the world every day by living by faith. Living by faith, looking for God, listening to what the Spirit has to say to the church. All right, and then to Pergamos, he says pretty much the same thing. Verse 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Saith unto the churches, to him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving him that receives it. Amen. You know you've got a secret identity in Jesus Christ. If you are an overcomer, God says when you get there, I'm going to give you a stone. I'm going to give you a white stone, pure, holy, righteousness. And you're going to have a new name. I don't know what my new name is going to be, but I know what my position is going to be. Son of God. Son of God. I'm adopted into it. I don't want to say that I'm taking over the place of Christ because He is the Son of God. All right. And so, but I am adopted into Him. Right. So, His righteousness is on me. His royalty is on me. His grace is on me. His truth is in me. So then, at that point, He says, Curtis, this is your name. No longer will you know me as liar, conniver, drunkard, adulterer. You won't know me as a cheater. You won't know me of any of those things. You know what you will know me by? As the Son, as the reflection of the righteousness of God. Praise God. I am excited for that day. So I'm going to push to be an overcomer until that happens. It has not happened yet physically, but I am already, by spiritual understanding, Jesus already sees me seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen? How about you, Nancy? You there? I think we're there. You said you don't know? I got good news for you. You can know. You do know. I thought you knew.
She just wants to be a thorn.
Well, if not, I can go to 1 John. I'll let you know that you have salvation. Amen. There's a way to know, and we're going to get to that because the overcomer in 1 John chapter 5, we will get to the Lord willing today that makes you an overcomer. All of these overcomer instances that are spoken of in the Revelation, there is a way to get there through Christ Jesus. But I'm going to finish reading to you the good things, all right? And to the church of Thyatira, verse 26 of chapter 2. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words, how long?
Until the end.
Works. Sorry, I said word.
Yeah.
I'm dyslexic. Okay, so sometimes I see the letters different.
From the New King.
No, I don't have the New King James anymore.
Memorized.
Yeah, memorized, amen. And it very well could have been. That keepeth my works. How do you keep the works of Jesus? By starts in F and ends in A. Faith, amen. I keep it by faith. I cannot do it on my own. I have to trust Jesus Christ. I have to trust His righteousness, His goodness. I cannot be good enough. But Jesus already sees me as good enough. Why? Because I'm striving to become an overcomer. I'm striving to become an overcomer. I haven't made it, but I'm working for that goal. Nothing wrong with having goals. In fact, the scripture says my people die because they have no goal. They have no vision. Lack of knowledge. Amen. Which is the fear of God. Lack of wisdom is the fear of God. The lack of knowledge. Folks who say there is no God, God calls them a fool. You know why? Someday they're going to stand before God. Their names are going to be called out. They say, well, there is no God. God wouldn't do that. Well, wait a second. That's a pretty big gamble for all of eternity. You know, I don't want to take that kind of gamble. I ain't a gambling man. I take a sure thing. Jesus Christ, He's a sure thing. He's that cornerstone. He is the plumb line that does not change. To the message to Sardis, the church of Sardis in chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Okay? All right? Listen to this. And we could get into a deep dive in Revelation, but I'm just looking at the rewards of an overcomer. All right? He that overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment. I am so excited that there's going to come a day that this corruption that you see here, this body of sin that you see here, will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That this unrighteous human being is going to be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ at my death or his coming back. There's coming a day when the dead in Christ shall hear his voice, and we're going to rise incorruptible. Whoo! Don't that make you happy? Doesn't that make you want to try your best to be an overcomer? To be one of these first pillars in the church? I want to be an overcomer so much. I want this prize. I want the stone that has my name on it. I want to be clothed in white raiment. I want my sins to be blotted out. I don't want my name to be blotted out. Oh, well, wait a second. You mean that you can be blotted out from the book of life? Jesus said so. Once saved, always saved. Kind of shoots a big hole in that. Now, don't get me wrong. Once converted, always converted. Once a mouth confession is made, that doesn't make a conversion. Amen?
It's only part of it.
It's only part of it. You got to have a heart. You can have a head knowledge and not a heart knowledge and go right to hell. You can know Jesus Christ died for your sin and never accept Him as your Lord and Savior, and you will die and go to hell. But if you accept Him as your Lord and Savior and allow Him to make you an overcomer, because it's not something you can do of yourself, He will make you a pillar in the house of God. Right? As you're an overcomer, then He will grant you to sit with the Father. He will give you a new name written on a white stone. He will clothe you in white garments that you could not earn in and of yourself. What are the blessings of being an overcomer? It's worth more than anything this world has to offer. Amen? It is worth so much more than anything that this world has to offer. To Philadelphia, him that overcometh, in verse 12, I will make him a pillar, amen, a pillar in the temple of my God. And this is where I got this from today. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God. Praise you, Jesus. And the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him a new name. Woo! Amen. You're going to have a new identity. Oh, man. Have you ever heard of witness protection? This is one of them. This is witness protection right here. You're going to be a pillar in the house of God. You'll never come out again. You will be there for eternity if you are an overcomer, if you're prepared for that. Even for the Laodicean churches, they're overcomers. Lazy, fat, American church. Okay? And I say that because...
We are.
Amen. Right. Because we are. Verse 21. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne. Even so I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Wow. Jesus said, I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me, and you are in me. And we that are desiring to be converted, willing to be converted, you're already seated in Jesus Christ at the throne. Not physically yet, but spiritually, you're already there. You got something?
Yeah, can you read verse 20 first?
Yes, I can. Behold, I thank you. Thank you, Alan. Praise God for you. I love you so much. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, Jesus is always knocking on your door. He's always looking for you. He's always looking for you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, let me ask you this. Even right now, are you hearing the voice of God? Is God piercing your heart right now? If he is, he's knocking. And if he's knocking, he's wanting you to answer. Amen? And open the door. Sorry, God's knocking. You hear the unctioning of the Holy Spirit in you. It's your job, your responsibility to open the door. God's not going to kick the door in. You know that? He's not going to force you to be born again. He's not going to force you to be an overcomer. He says, I will give you power. I'm going to knock on the door. I want you to answer it. I want you to open it. And if you open it, when you open your heart to Jesus Christ, when you open the door to your spirit, your soul, to Jesus Christ, he comes in. And he sops with you. He has dinner with you. Open the door. I will come into him and will sop with him and he with me. You're an overcomer. You've conquered the world and sin and death, not through your power, but through the power of Christ that's in you. That's why it is so important. We need to be careful on how we build on this foundation. Be careful how you build on the foundation. I did 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 last week, and I stopped at a particular place quite on purpose that I could come back to that same spot today. Amen? So 3:11, and I think I stopped at 14. But we'll back up 3:11 and start there. Now remember, we're talking about being overcomers. We're talking about being part of the temple of God. We're talking about being this building that the gates of hell shall not prevail against. Because I want you to know, people, he's not talking about brick and mortar structure. He's talking about a spiritual house that hell and Lucifer cannot break and knock down. But you've got to be an overcomer to be part of that building. So he tells us that there is a foundation. Verse 11 of chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. For other foundation can no man lay than which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Every single human being is going to have their work tried. God gave you the instructions of the foundation. He says, be careful how you build on that foundation. Make sure that what you do is plumb, is square, is straight. Not plumb. And praise God. I knew a fellow. He's a pretty good carpenter. But he used to square things up like this. Right? 99% of the time he was right. Depends if he had one of those other drinks. But anyhow, he would eyeball something down, man. And pretty much, if he told you it was straight, it was straight. But was it perfect? No. It was never perfect. Was it straight? Yeah, it was okay. But if you would have continued to build on his thumb, print his eyeball looking down that wall, if you continue to build on that, the next two or three floors up, you would be off kilter a long way. That's why they make plumb bobs. That's why they make squares. That's why they make lasers. That's why they make a blueprint on how things are done and tools to make that done. That's the foundation of Jesus Christ. We have the Word, we have the historical books, the prophetic books, the Gospels, the poetry books, the epistles, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which means revealing, the apocalypse. See, we think of apocalypse as this weird thing, but really apocalypse just means reveal. It's to uncover. We're uncovering Jesus and his Christship, the Messiah, who he is and what he expects, and the ability that he gives to every single individual that will hear what the Spirit has to say. He will do the work if you will humble yourself to the work that needs to be done. Amen? He will do the work if you'll humble yourself to the work that needs to be done. You are a part of this building. And God says, Alan, you're a little out of square there. Here, let me show you how to get squared up. Here's my plumb line. Here's my word. Here's the foundation. Get yourself squared away. Get your gig line lined up. Right? Get yourself put in order that you might be an overcomer. See, if you could be like a wise man that digs down to the foundation, to the solid rock that cannot be moved, and you build your house from there up, and I guarantee you the storms of life shall not knock it down. Amen? Doesn't mean the storms ain't coming. It says that you won't stumble and fall and be destroyed by the storms of life. It says you'll be able to stand. But if you build your building, your temple, on anything except for the foundation of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, you build that on your thoughts, you build that on your imagination, you build that with your ability, I will guarantee you this, the storms of life are going to come blow you down. The big bad wolf, I'm going to huff, and I'm going to puff, and I'm going to blow your house down. Amen? Who here has had their house rocked? Amen. Back before I was born again, back before I was truly converted, after I made a confession of Jesus Christ, but I didn't make an adjustment to Jesus Christ, the storms of life, the slightest breeze would knock me over. It wouldn't take much. Just a little whoop, and I'd fall down, cry, wee wee, poor, pitiful me. Right? I hear you. And they would knock me down. I would be so defeated over the smallest, littlest of things. But once I dug down, once I started building on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, there has not been a gale that come in my life that took me off of the foundation. Oh, though the storms of life wail against me, I am an overcomer because I'm rooted and grounded into the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? I cannot fall. I can't fall. Not because I'm good enough, not because I'm self-righteous, but because it is God who strengthens me. I need to be careful how I build upon that. Every man's work is going to be judged, all right? If any man's work abide, he that hath built thereon shall receive a reward. But if a work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, but as so by fire. Now, that does not mean once confessed, always saved. Now, what am I building on this foundation? What is the one thing that I bring to heaven with me? Is it my stunning good looks? Of course, I didn't have those to start with. All right. How about all my wealth? My sporting trophies. All right, no, that didn't work. My power over the internet. My Facebook. I'm bringing Facebook with me. No, the one thing that I'm going to be judged by is how did I love? I need to love God and love others. The only thing I'm going to bring with me before God is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that He gave me and the way that I worked that love out to others. That's it. That's it. I need to be careful. Now, if I say, I love only those who love me back. You know, Jesus talked about that. Even the publicans. Even the IRS does that. Not that folks can't love if you're in the IRS. But he's talking about tax collectors, publicans. If you only love those who love you, what good are you? You're nothing. When God judges you, your building's going to be off kilter. But you yourself can be saved. But everybody that you did not share, did not love, does it matter to you, the individual, if somebody you know or somebody you don't know is going to die and go to hell? That work that you could have had that's going to burn in eternal fire? Well, I don't agree with that person, so to hell with him. I'm not going to share the love of God with him. Not with him. No. They're taller than me. I don't like nobody taller than me. That makes it a much shorter area. Amen? You can't do that. Sorry. I looked over at Ben. He's like 7'3" tall. Anyhow. We have got to trust God that He loves every single human, whether we agree with them or not. My job is not to judge them. Right? I am not the judge. If I do judge a man on those principles, on what I think they ought to do, what they ought not to, then that person that I had the chance to love, to witness, to show the grace of God to, I shut the door to, and that was an opportunity for me to bring precious stone, silver, or gold before God. But I turned it into wood, hay, or stubble. It's going to be burned up. I might be saved, but when I look across the judgment hall at that other person and see that other person cast into everlasting hellfire, I can't do it. I cannot within myself hate another human being. Why? Because God loves them. Well, what if you don't agree with them? Doesn't say I got to agree with them. What if I don't like them? Doesn't say you got to like them. You are commanded to love. Well, what if they do something mean to you? Read Matthew chapter 5. You've heard it said of old to love your neighbor and to hate your enemies. But Jesus said, love your enemies. Do good to those who spitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Oh, wow. That means I got a lovely unlovely? Yeah. Jesus loved you. You unlovely person. You know? So yeah, you got to love them. What if you don't agree with them? Big deal. They're not going to be judged by you. They're going to be judged by God. I don't have to agree with them. I got to love them. I got to share the love and the grace and the power of Jesus Christ. I've got to share with them the foundation of God. I've got to live my life as an overcomer. When they hate me, I'm supposed to overcome that hatred with love. When they say all manner of evil against me, I'm supposed to overcome that with love, with grace, with goodness, with grace and truth, just like Jesus did. I'm sad to tell you, I have come short of that. I am a bigoted, self-righteous, arrogant human being. I could come up with some more adjectives, but they were getting worse as I was going on in my mind. All right, so now, and in that, God says, Curtis, I love you. I count you worthy. I count you worthy to become an overcomer. Yeah. Jesus did. If I look at myself, dude, I'm not worth it. God said, you're worth it so much that I'm sending my only begotten Son to die for your unrighteousness. Your stinking, worthless self, I will die for you. Not only will I die for you, I'm going to raise on the third day. And then I'm going to call you by name. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to cover you, the propitiation of God over top of you. And guess what? You ain't worth it in yourself. But God said you were worth everything to me. You false teacher. God loves you. Right? You adulterer. God loves you. He doesn't say that you should sin all the more that grace may abound. God forbid. I need to strive to be an overcomer. If I was a thief, I need to stop thieving. right? If I was an adulterer, I need to stop being an adulterer. If I was a fornicator, I need to stop doing that. If I was a liar, I need to stop doing that. If I was a cursor, and I talked about this, my wife told me it's a thing on a computer. There's a cursor on it. Stay off of that button, it's bad. It's a cursor. A person who uses foul language, says like chicken and duck and turkey.
Owl.
Owl. Stork. You old crow. Anyhow, stop using foul language. You know, learn how to control that stuff. Anyhow, so in those things, he says in verse 16, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall..." Who's going to destroy?
God.
Oh, Curtis ain't going to destroy him? Who's going to destroy him?
God.
God's not my job to condemn anybody. Woo! I feel... Woo, man. What a relief. What a relief. It's not my job to condemn people. God's going to destroy them. It's not my deal. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he hath taken the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, and they are vain. Let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. All right? Do not set your hope, do not set your goals of perfection on another human being. Jesus said, call no man father, but your father who is in heaven. You know why? Every single human being is not right with God. You ain't there. You know, you're foolish if you think that you can say, well, Dr. Seuss says this, and I'm going to trust Dr. Seuss. If Dr. Seuss doesn't line up with the Word of God, Dr. Seuss is a quack that don't come back. He's eating green eggs and ham. Right? He's the yak that won't turn east or west. Right? He's just that stubborn, ignorant, prideful man saying that the ways of the world are right. And God says, no, they're foolishness. The ways of this world are foolishness. Trust God and move on. I did say we're going to get to... 1 John. Now, as we're getting to 1 John, flip over to 1 John chapter 5, just 5 verses. Shouldn't take more than an hour or two to get through. So I was reading through Acts. I'm sorry, this just popped in my head. As I was reading through Acts, today, or actually this past week, there's a spot I can't exactly put my finger on it, but it talks about James, John, and Cephas. These seem to be pillars in the church. So this is when Paul, Barnabas went and found Paul, and Paul came to the church, and he was looking to be blessed, to have the hands laid on him, to go and do the work. And they came to see these three guys, which seemed to be pillars in the church. Ooh, pillars. All right? These were the men who were the overcomers. All right? And he says, I see these guys, and it was James, the apostle, John, I don't think it was it may have been the brother of Jesus, that James. And then Cephas, who's Peter, the rock. And these three, Paul said, these seem to be pillars in the church. Why were they pillars? Because they were overcomers. They were the overcomers. Of that time, you could look at them and they said, wow, that John, that Peter, that James, they're walking close enough with Christ that I want to follow their example. They believed to the point that they had a boldness that wasn't really from the world, it was from God. And so, anyhow, that just popped in my head, pillars, and it just jumped in there. So, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Okay, you want to be born again? What do you believe? Who is this Jesus? Who is he to you? We know that he is the Christ. Now, who is he to you? Is he really the Savior of your soul? Is he really God manifested in the flesh? Is he really the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end? Is that who he is to you, or is he just some guy hanging on a cross? Three men hung on crosses that day. Only one rose from the dead. Only one was God manifested in the flesh. So yes, whoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is the Messiah, is the Savior of the world, all right, that's what Christ means, is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also, is begotten of him. So this love, do you love him? Do you love him? I mean, do you love him? And I'm not talking about this mealy mouth, Americanized way of love. You got to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Do you love him that way? Do you love him enough not to die for him? Do you love him enough to live for him? Amen? It's easy to die for somebody. Oh, I love you so much, I'd die for you. Well, geez, then your work's over. So, that's it. I love you so much, I'm going to live for you. Oh, that's different. That's a love with hope. That I'm going to see tomorrow, and I'm going to live that life for you too. Amen? You got to love him that way. By this, we know that we love, okay. Again, one, whoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that begetteth, that is begotten of him. This, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. That means hard to do. Verse 4, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Woohoo! Now, do you love God? John the Apostle just said, he that keepeth his commandments loves God. Huh. So, does that mean I got to keep his commandments? Yeah. What are his commandments? What are the two commandments that make all the commandments fulfilled?
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Wow. So if I'm really going to be born again, I first got to love God. See, if I don't love God first, foremost, more than anything else, I can't love my neighbor. The folks who say, I hate this person, I hate that person, I guarantee you they got a love problem with God. Point straight blank. But when you love God right, then you can love your enemies as yourself. Wow. That means I can bless those who spitefully use me and say all manner of evil against me falsely for his name's sake. Wow. That is supernatural. That's an overcomer. This being an overcomer is supernatural stuff. And it makes you a pillar in the house of God that you'll never be able to go out. In fact, not that you won't be able to go out, you won't want to go out. When I get to the kingdom, or when the kingdom gets to me, whichever comes first, I don't want to go out. Because outside of the kingdom is whoremongers, liars, thieves, murderers, adulterers, all that stuff is on the outside. I don't want none of that. I want to be so close to God when that comes that they won't be able to see a difference between he and I. I will be in Christ Jesus. When God looks at this sinner, he's got to look at Jesus Christ first. His blood, his propitiation. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Amen. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is true. There are three that bear witness, bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, which is the Son. In the beginning was the Word is with God. And the Holy Ghost. These three are one.
And there are three that bear witness on the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, and he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given us, eternal life. And this is in his Son, and he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. All right? Okay, here's your confidence. These things I've written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I know I have eternal life. Why? Because the prerequisites of that above, believing on the Son, believing on the resurrection, believing in the power of his name, sets me there. I'm set there. I can't go anywhere else. I have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. He is God. And by his grace, I will not let go. I will not let go. I've gave this analogy before, and I like this analogy a lot. Anybody ever played tug of war with a bulldog? I have seen a bulldog hanging from a rope in a tree on his own jaw. Right? Have you ever seen that? They will hang there all day long. You take that rope, you get him interested in it, you throw it over the tree, you tie a knot in it, that bulldog will jump up there and he'll hang for his teeth and wiggle and jiggle and tickle around all day long. That's how I feel about Jesus. I know he hung on the tree for me. And in him is everything I want, everything I need. I'm going to be like that bulldog. I'm going to latch a hold of him, and I'm going to wiggle and jiggle and tickle around. I'm going to move and jerk and flail, but I am not going to let go. Because in him, I have life. In him, I have hope. And you too, if you will trust in him today, I mean really trust in him, you can have that kind of tenacity that you can know, absolutely know for sure, that you have eternal life. It's not by works that you do. It's by your willingness to do the works that he did. Love the Lord your God with all your strength, with all your might, with everything you have in you. And then love those that don't love you. Jesus said, your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to put it this way. Love those that don't love you. Because it's easy to love those that do. That's reciprocal. You love me, I'll love you. Scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. I want to love people that will never love me back. That will always hate me.
Yeah, the verse doesn't say what kind of neighbor he is.
Amen. You're right. You're right, brother. It doesn't. So the question is to you. Do you want to be an overcomer? That's between you and God. This first pillar of salvation, we'll talk about salvation again next week, because we're just talking about the pillars, how to get in. Amen? How to get in, what it means to be an overcomer. See, I'm overcomer because of the foundation. I'm an overcomer because of the grace and the truth of God, the plumb line of God. I'm an overcomer because I trust in the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. I'm not an overcomer because I'm good enough, because I ain't. I'm an overcomer because God saw me in the midst of my sin and loved me there and called me out of darkness into his glorious light. And since I'm in the light, I, by the grace of God, will not let go. Ain't letting go. Ain't letting go. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the world does. I'm not worried about the world. In fact, we read today that the world is foolishness to God. I ain't holding on to the foolishness. I'm holding on by faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to challenge you to be that tenacious. That tenacious. Set it in your heart, in your mind, right now. This far and no further. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. I want to be a student, a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to go and make disciples in Jesus Christ. Anyhow, I love you. It's funny how God makes you run out of words to say that, lets you know you're finished. Anyhow, Lord God, we do love you. We praise you. I thank you, Father God, for this time that we've spent together. Lord, I just lift up even now, Father, that we would not give anything in exchange for our soul. Thank you, Lord. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Father, I will... Anything that would stop me from making it to you, Lord, expose that to me that I might repent of it, turn away from the unrighteousness that lives within me, that I may indeed become an overcomer, a pillar in the house of the Lord. Father, with a new name, with new clothing, with the righteousness of God. I pray that for the folks within the sound of my voice, Lord Jesus, for the folks that are here, Lord, that you would continually pierce their heart, call their name, guide them with the truth of your love, Lord Jesus, until they come to that day of salvation. Father, I ask those things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.